pour yourself into us right now. God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Pastor Josh and his wife. We ask you, God, to bless them. They have opened their hearts, and we want to ask you to pour in them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And amen. Amen. Now, your pastor gets to come over to our place, and every time the service is over, I make him have to talk and act a little crazy. And let him always drop something in us before he leaves. He is a unique fella. He's just down to earth. Now, he has a Peter's attitude. Somebody just missed that. He has a Peter attitude. Maybe somebody don't know. Who in here knows who Peter is in the Bible? Peter's that fella that runs with Jesus. And before Jesus can finish talking, Peter's running his mouth. Because he's that bold. Follow it. Because he's with Jesus. Okay, let me say it again. He's that bold because he's with Jesus. Let me say that again. He's that bold because he's with Jesus. Okay, let's do a little practice here because you got to participate. Everybody just say amen.
Amen.
That simply means I agree with what the Word of God is saying. That's all. I'm not here to hype you up, none of that. But let me help you how this deal is. If you don't say amen to the truth, I'm going to assume you don't understand, and I'm going to keep on talking about that one thing until you get to the point you say, amen, I got it. Because my job is to make sure that you leave here with an understanding. Okay, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So let's do a practice again. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Watch how this works. God is good.
Amen.
Oh, he woke you up this morning.
Amen.
He started you on your way.
Amen.
He put a roof over your head.
Amen.
And God is still blessing you.
Amen.
In spite of what you've been going through, he's still good.
Amen.
Okay, we got it down. You got it. So there really is no reason for you to have a sad face about anything. So I asked Pastor Josh this. Here's what happens. Every house has rules. Every house has rules. And you never go into somebody's house unless you know the rules of the house. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay, let me go to this side. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. I don't want to have just one side say I understand, and I'll be talking over here forever. It's better than sacrifice. So I asked Pastor Josh, what did God say to you about what it needs to be said to your people? Because I know what he says on 157 Schumacher. But I don't know what he's telling you about the Forerunner Church. Okay, here's the difference. At 157 Schumacher, everybody's church is for everybody. Over here, Pastor Josh is running for everybody. Oh, God, come on. Y'all gonna, I just want to talk to y'all. Don't make me work hard today. There has to be a place for everybody, and there has to be somebody willing to go get everybody. Are you with me? Let me make it this simple. You might say, I want to go swimming, but there first has to be a hole. Then there has to be cement poured in the hole, and then somebody got to put water in the hole before you can call it a pool. Okay, here's a, let me help y'all with this. I've been doing this long enough. Don't care if folks look crazy. The truth is what it is, and most time people don't like the truth. And folks would be a whole lot better off if they learned to accept the truth, and their life will get better. So I asked Pastor Josh this, what is God saying? He said, biblical grace. Everybody say biblical grace.
Biblical grace.
Say it again. Everybody say biblical grace. Now, here's the deal. Now, he got that plain flat in a vision, that the vision was so clear, he thought he already called me and told me. See, somebody just missed that too. God spoke to him, and he got so far in his presence, he forgot to call me to tell me what God said to tell me. So when I called him up, he said, I really thought I told you. Are you with me? Everybody say, biblical grace. Now, here's the deal on that. Without that being explained, and if I asked anybody what biblical grace was, most folks would sit there and simply go and say, well, God's grace, it's God's unmerited favor. Or folks would go off on of everything they heard, thinking they know about grace, but there's different levels of grace. So God told him, says biblical grace. Now, since we can't stay here all night long, I'm going to just give you a few to get you started. And the rest to be left up to Pastor Josh to finish what God said to him. Amen. Are you all right? Sir? Oh, yes, sir. So grace number one would be grace in salvation. That would be number one, grace in salvation. Number two would be grace and justification. Grace in justification. Three would be grace in Christian living. Grace in Christian living. Four would be grace and good works. Grace and good works. And number five would be grace as a gift. Grace as a gift. I just gave you five different levels of grace. First one would be, again, grace in salvation. Two, grace in justification. Three, grace and Christian living. Four, grace and good works. Five, grace as a gift. Let me say it like this. Most folks don't know how to do grace in salvation. Are you with me? We're going to church by the grace of God without the salvation of God. I'm going to say that again. That might hurt a little bit. We go into church by the grace of God, but not in the salvation of God. Okay, y'all ready? Let me sit there and prove this. If we sit there and we go to Psalms, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know that it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Okay, let me say this again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, he says, all. Serve him with gladness. Some of us struggle to smile every day because of our issues. We'll say God out our mouth with a frown on our face all at the same time. How is that possible? What are you saying, Pastor Hodges? I'm not saying you don't love the Lord. I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with God. But if we don't understand the salvation of God, we have nothing to smile about. I'll give you scripture reference here in a minute so you don't think I'm just talking. Are you with me? So grace and salvation will first come from Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 8:9, and it says this: for by grace you have been saved through faith. Are y'all with me? Okay, let me ask again. I didn't ask if there are a few people with me. Are all of y'all with me? Okay, now with scripture, I just want you to agree with scripture, not me. Okay, let me go again. Ephesians 2, verse 8-9 says this: for by grace you have been saved through faith. So here's the deal. Now that means that your faith needs to be in a certain place. Are you with me? Okay, let's put it like this. Did everybody drive a car here, a ride in a car? Okay. Did everybody drive at least over 5 miles? Let's put it like this. Your gas gauge had to be at a certain level for you to make it here. Okay, y'all with me so far? Before you came here, you looked at it to see if you had enough gas to make it. Let me ask you this. Do you have enough word to make it? Are y'all with me? Let me say it again. Grace and salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This means salvation is a gift from God, not something we earn. Okay, you following me? So the first thing that grace and salvation begins to expose to you is that it is a gift, and most folks don't even know they have it. Are you with me? Let's put it just like this. I have 8 kids. 8. One of them is in church, sitting here on the front row. The other 7, God knows what they're doing. I would prefer them to be in church. And if I let the aspect of them not serving God to become an issue, I will miss they are a gift. And if I miss that they are a gift, I'll never get the opportunity to see what God put in them. Are you with me? But if I recognize the gift, then he begins to allow me, as I deal with them with their lives, to open up what's in them, to expose what he put in them. Hallelujah, anyhow. Okay, y'all not going to talk to me. Let me ask this. Does everybody understand at this point grace and salvation? Amen. This side, do you understand grace and salvation? Amen. Do y'all understand on this side grace and salvation? Amen. Amen. So we don't have to stay there. Okay. 2, grace and justification. Romans 3:23-24 says this: for all have sinned. Everybody say all. All. Let me do this again. Everybody say all. Okay, don't act like you ain't done nothing wrong. Let's put it like this. Part of the reason why we can't smile all the time, because either we feel guilty about what we done, or we're mad about what somebody done to us. Are you with me? Let me say that again. Either we're guilty about what we have done, or we're mad about what somebody has done to us. Here's the deal. Let me tell you, when I sit there and I got here today, walked in the room, and I'm not going to go into prophetic today, but I'm just going to turn around and say, God said, here's the deal. This is what God, when I walked in the room, and as they were singing, here's the deal, what he sat there and said. First of all, one in the Hebrew means unity. And here's what he's already saying. Some folks' past is causing them not to have unity with God. I'm going to say this again. Some people allow their past to cause division between them and God. put it like this. I'm doing that. I can start going to people, but he ain't telling me to do that today. Here's the deal. He wants to deliver some folks today that want to be delivered, just to know how to be delivered. You follow me? Because you are operating and not understanding grace and salvation and seem to think you have the ability to do it yourself. Hallelujah, anyhow. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Let me explain that. You will hear that so much, and it's the quickest thing folks can say when they try to justify being wrong. And that scripture don't mean that no more on it than the man on the moon. When it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, here's what that means. There is nothing about our lives, even right now, that'll give God glory. So he says all have sinned, falling short, that I cannot get glory out of your life. But he can get glory out of your praise. So it's simple. It's like this. Since my life is raggedy, I ought to have a serious praise. Y'all with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah, anyhow. Falling short of glory, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God's grace is what makes sinners right before him. Okay, you follow me? Other words, here's the deal. Nothing that you have done gives you a right to approach him. But his grace allows you to approach him if he doesn't turn you away. Are y'all with me? See, my daughter about to say, here you go. I know daddy about to use me for an example again. Here's what I will have sitting here. I'm proud of her beyond measures. Here's why. She has accomplished something that my other seven kids haven't. You don't know how strong somebody is until you've been through something. Are you with me? Some folks will cry because they cell phone off. They're cocking attitude because they can't do what they want to do in the house, and then got grounded. And I act like with their friends, it's the end of the world. I seem like think they're adults and think they grown, and parents ain't doing nothing. But when you really been through something, are you with me? And you can get through all of that, admit your mistakes, know that it's your fault while where you were, and then still come back and hold your head up and keep pushing forward. No matter how many times I've fallen, I keep on getting up. God is not concerned when you fall. He has an issue when you are not willing to get up. Are y'all with me? Okay, let me go through this again. Grace and justification. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, been justified freely by his grace. You ought to be able to operate free because you know his grace is there and you didn't have to pay for it. Okay, y'all ready? Let me give you this nice example. Go talk to folks that's on welfare. Take the welfare away. Watch how they will act. They will break their neck, talk to who they got to talk to, go through what they have to go through, and watch this. They will put in the work just to get the assistance because it's free. Let me say that again. They are put into work to get something free. Oh, yeah, somebody get mad, but I don't like folks being on welfare. They had to work to get there. Now, they reap the benefits of things being free. But there's some work they had to do to get it for free. Okay, let's put it like this. Your life is on welfare. Because Jesus paid the price. And folks get mad when they got to work for what is free. You ain't paying for your breath. You ain't paying for being closed in your right mind. You ain't praying, you ain't paying for your reasonable portion of health and strength. He even, watch, it's so free, he'll let you act a fool and have a bad attitude and still let you breathe. For free. And here's what he'll do. The purpose of the welfare, see, I like that word, well and fair. Are y'all with me so far? He gives you enough time to get well. So you're able to see that he dealt with you fairly. Hallelujah, anyhow. See, y'all thought it had something to do with food stamps in Section 8. See, several he tried to talk about. No, I'm talking about your welfare with God, what he already paid for, and you living for free. Are y'all with me? Are we okay with grace and justification on this side? Amen? Are we okay with on this side? Amen? Okay, so we'll move on. Number three. Grace and Christian living. So now, how do you live according to grace? If you recognize that it's by his grace you are here, how much grace do you show somebody else? Are y'all with me so far? There has to be grace in your living. Are you with me? How you living? With the grace of God. How much grace are you showing? I had to tell a pastor the other day in another place, and he was trying to sit there and talk to me about grace. And he said, I extended grace, he said, to a friend of mine. I said, oh, okay. He says, but you know, God told me to be real careful what I do with my grace. I said, I need you to explain that to me. Because you act like you own grace. Are you with me? So here's what I told him. I said, you know, there's different levels of grace. In other words, once you understand God's grace, then the only grace he'll allow you to operate in with other folks, are y'all ready? It's called social grace. That means you can extend socially your grace. But here's the difference with that. That grace you can take back. Y'all understand what I just said? Okay, let me give you 2 Corinthians 12:9. Records Jesus telling Paul this. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Grace not only saves but sustains believers through trials. Are y'all with me? Everybody say, God's grace is enough for me. Okay. Okay, I'm going to help you know what you said. I want y'all to repeat that. It says, God's grace is enough. Say, God's grace, it is enough. Okay, so here's what that means. Paul turns around, and Paul was a very educated man that sat there and thought he was doing right by persecuting Christians. He thought he was in the right. He goes one day to go off, and he's on the road to Damascus, and God knocks him off his horse. Give you the short version. And he says to God, who out thy Lord? He didn't know who he was. He thought he knew him. Now, here's the deal on this. You're going to tell me a man that was well-educated, knew the Bible like the back of his head, did not know who Jesus was. To the point that he stood at the stoning of Stephen. And he marveled trying to figure out how a man being stoned to death asking God to forgive the people stoning him. This is the man that knows the Bible back and forth and don't know Jesus. Are y'all with me? So let me help with this. You can know all your Bible real well and still don't know Jesus. Are y'all with me? Am I all right, Pastor Josh, on time? So here's what ends up happening. After that, Paul actually gets saved. And while he's on this journey now, doing what he's supposed to do, Paul goes through horrendous. He gets bit by snakes. He gets stoned to death. He gets shipwrecked. You name it, it's happening. But he had an issue with his health. Paul could hardly walk. He was even jacked up so bad you really couldn't recognize who he was. He's in pain all the time, and he begs God to heal him. And he asked God three times. He said, if you will remove this thorn from my flesh. Let me pause there for a second. Some of you keep asking God to remove something, and he's not. Let me say this to you again. You keep asking God to remove something. I'm going to tell you in a minute why. And you're wondering why it has not been removed. Everybody say why. I'm going to give you the answer. Glad you asked that question. Here's what God knows. If he removes the thorn from your flesh, you'll go back the way you were before the thorn. He knows if he leaves the thorn in your flesh, he keeps you safe. And you dig further in your relationship with him. You don't have to believe me. It's the truth. Some things he's not going to remove because it keeps you praying. It keeps you communicating with him. Are you with me? And he says this to Paul. My grace is sufficient. That means it's enough for you to get through. Day to day. So I'm going to ask you again. How are you living according to the grace of God in your Christian living? Number four. Grace and good works. That will be in Titus 2. 11:12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Let me go through that again. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. Do you see every time I go how it keeps reserting? Each one keeps reserting back to each one. It keeps resulting back to each one. So by the time you get to grace and good works, you should understand grace and salvation, grace and justification, and grace and Christian living. So now you can do some good works. That means you are not looking for anything in return. The issue with folks in church today, if they do something, they want somebody to pat them on the back. They want them to give them accolades. Oh, you're doing a good job for God. You're doing a good job for the kingdom. And then when you want a pat on the back, you just got your reward, because really you're doing it to be recognized. Hallelujah. It is sad to see that. And that goes on in every church. And folks will leave the church if they're not being recognized by what they're doing. And it makes you ask the question, did you show up for God or you show up for yourself? So you know, you tell folks like that, go start your own ministry then. Because obviously you don't want to work in God's ministry. They want the grace. They want the works. But they want to be told they good. Well, it ain't good the moment you want the credit for God's work. Hallelujah, anyhow. If you look at the word good, you'll find the word go do God in it. Go do God's work. Look at it. If you go look at it, go do God works. Ain't got nothing to do with you go do your works. Get the credit for your works. It has God in the word. The works you're supposed to do are supposed to be done for the purpose of God and God only. Yeah, yeah. This particular deal, why grace is unearned, it leads to a transformed life. Say that again. Grace is not something you can earn. So guess what? Let's put it like this. So you can have folks pat you on the back, tell you you done a good job, applaud you, all that, and you still don't earn nothing. Because you cannot earn grace. Can't buy it, you can't pay for it, you can't earn it. Are y'all with me? You still with me? Say amen. Amen. And number five. Can we move on to number five? Yes, sir. Is everybody understanding so far? Yes, sir. Amen. Number five, grace as a gift. That would be John 1:16. And it says this, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. God's grace is abundant and continuously gives to his people. Say this again. Grace as a gift. And I was working on that before I even got here. That so what does grace upon grace, and this is a question that I sit there and ask, what does grace upon grace mean? What does that mean? If you were to read that scripture and ask somebody, he says, let me read it to you again. And of his fullness we have all received. And grace upon grace, God's grace is abundant and continuously gives to his people. Let me read that to you again. This really gets to me. And of his fullness we have all received. That got me right there. That's everybody. 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 Everybody in this room have received God's grace. Everybody in this room, everybody in this world has received God's grace even today. We're getting it right now. But then it says this in this room. And grace upon grace. So that got me. So number one, I found out that it's never-ending grace. Okay, y'all didn't catch that. So you should have got excited about that. When you make it and you understand that grace is a gift and you open that gift, what's in that gift is never-ending. God, dog. I'm really doing my best just to stay nice and calm, Josh. No, I can get really wild. I'm trying not to scare nobody. Everybody say, thank you, Pastor Josh, for biblical grace. Because this helped me. No, it helped me. That in itself even made me look at God in a whole nother different aspect to find out that there's stuff in the box I didn't look in there and see. Okay. Let me give you a testimony. Short one. All right, Simpsons, I'm coming y'all's way. Yeah. Are y'all with me? The Simpsons, just a few days ago, were in foreclosure on their house. Just a few days ago, well, last Sunday, Reverend Simpson turned around and talked about, I'm going to lose my car. So we going to lose our house. Transportation going to be gone. And then he even said, and my wife is behind payments on the car we just got her. So technically saying, we ain't going to have nothing. But he said this, Pastor, I just called for some instructions. I ain't worried about it. He said, I ain't upset. I ain't mad. I ain't worried about it. Here's what he said. I just need some instructions of what to do in the situation. Okay, let me say it like this before I finish the testimony. Some folks never get elevated because they don't want to talk about God where they're stuck. Are y'all with me? They don't want to tell God, watch how crazy it is, all about their troubles. They just want to tell God about what they want. But they don't want to talk to God about what they need. Are you with me so far? Here's the deal with most folks that then do. They want a house. They want a car. They want a good job. They want money. They want to take vacations. They want a lot of friends. And they want to live forever. But they never see the need for God's salvation. And after you get everything that you want, you never have what you need. So even in having what you want, you still can't smile. Hallelujah. So anyway, So I sat there, gave him some instructions. Sat there, did that, called my niece. And she goes, I ain't worried about it. We ain't worried about it. She always says that. I ain't worried. That's a famous line. I ain't worried. And then he called me the other day. He goes, well, sir, we got some things working. But, and I said, well, I said, that other car ain't worth keeping no way. I said, so tell them to go ahead and start running the credit on the truck that you want. Okay, here's the part I don't seem to understand. His wife a couple of years back had already turned around and said what she figured he needed to have, not wanted to, want to have. That's 2 years ago. Are you with me? And he just goes, yes, sir. And he sees the salesman do it. He's driving his new truck today. Yeah. The house stuff is paid for today. Because they talked to God about what they needed, not what they wanted. See, most folks will see a new truck and figure he wanted it. Now, if you don't understand what they do, no, God gave them the truck because they needed it. Are y'all with me? Let me say this again. Never-ending grace. Repeat after me. Say, I want never-ending grace. So that means his grace is not a one-time gift, but a continuously giving, just as waves keep coming to share, his grace is always available. Say it again. His grace is always available. The question is, are you always available for him? His grace is always available. Are you always available for him? Don't answer that question. Because you allow your little pity parties and things in your life to get in the way of being available. Because if things ain't going your way, I don't feel like serving God today. I'm not in the mood for prayer today. Hallelujah, anyhow. Number two of grace upon grace. Now that's called layers of grace. Are y'all with me? Everybody say layers. Here's what that means. That God's grace builds upon itself. Boy, that's crazy right there. Okay, let me say. God's grace builds upon itself. Boy, here's the good part about it. It can't build upon you. You'll collapse. But it builds upon itself for you. Okay, y'all with me? How come ain't nobody excited yet? Pastor Joshua never said, pull on him and pull on him. Y'all really understand what I'm saying? It's really great. His grace builds upon itself. He pours it out, and then it builds upon itself to sustain itself for you. Okay, let me help you with this. The reason why you still here, even after you done some things and you don't deserve to be here, is because the grace that built upon itself for you to give you grace to be here. Are y'all with me? Okay, you know how that works? Here's what it is. That means one act of grace leads to another. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Some folks say it just literally cannot be that simple. Yes, it is. One act of kindness builds, and that causes an act of kindness to come back to you. Okay, let me back that up with scripture. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are you with me? And you wondering, why is this happening to me? You sow some things that keeps building on top of itself. See, I want to make sure you're not going to walk out this door and start complaining about what you think God ought to do in your life. You need to leave here and get a grip on grace and salvation, grace and justification, grace and Christian living, grace and good works, and grace as a gift, and tap into the aspect of something that is never ending. And you allow God to cover your life in layers of grace. Are y'all with me? See, I'm still going to meet the time. Give me 5 minutes and I'll leave y'all alone. You ever turn around and put a whole lot on the table, but you start seeing when folks start getting full and they don't want to eat no more? So we're not going to waste the food. I got a whole lot here. You want the rest of it, you got to come to everybody's church after Josh goes runs and get everybody. Last thing I'm going to give you is sustaining grace. If you have grace and salvation, grace and justification, grace and Christian living, grace as a gift, and you get to a place you understand that it's never-ending grace, it's layers of grace, you ought to want that to sustain. You don't ever want to give it a chance to be lost. Are you with me? Are y'all with me? What does sustaining grace does? Sustaining grace sustains you through your trials and tribulations. It sustains you through your hard times. It sustains you even though you are crying, you can still smile through your tears. Even though somebody hurt you, you don't have a problem forgiving. Sustaining grace allows you to do good to those that despitefully use you. You know they're using you and you still do right by them. Are you with me? Talking about you like a dog, but you know they can't make it without you. They know they can't make it if you don't pray for them. They know they can't make it if you still, you learn how to put up with that and still sustain through all of that. Are y'all with me so far? Are y'all with me? So in my little close, I'm not going to get excited. I know Josh wants me to. I ain't going to get excited. I'm excited, but I ain't going to tear up the building. How does all of that apply? One, we are constantly receiving God's grace and salvation, forgiveness, and daily strength. Whether you know it or not, you are constantly receiving his grace. It's a constant. Forgiveness from him. And daily strength. That's why you can still go when you think you ain't gonna make it. Are you with me? You wonder why you still here, and some of you thought about taking your own life. You didn't tell nobody you thought that. But you did. And you trying to figure out why you still here. Because his grace, salvation, forgiveness, and he keeps giving you daily strength. Are you with me? Two, we don't have to rely on past grace. Y'all just missed that. We don't have to rely on past grace. God gives fresh grace for each new challenge. Okay, let me hear this. If you still having the same challenge, you need to ask God to give you the fresh grace. Because the reason why you still have the challenge, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. You're trying to squeeze something that is not there. He gives fresh grace for every new challenge. Repeat after me. Say, the devil has been defeated today because God has given me fresh grace today to overcome my challenges. You ought to leave here knowing that you've already won. And this is what I want to remind you of, all of what I said. All of what I said ought to remind us to leave here today that we say we serve God, we're going to live according to God, and we're going to die in God. This ought to remind us to extend grace to others. Are you with me? Here's what that means. There are some folks you need to forgive today. There are some things you need to let go today. You've been carrying it too long. Are you with me? Stop letting your brain try to tell you they deserve for you not to forgive them. Look, I'm doing some things without having to walk over to people and talk to you. God is talking directly to everybody in the room, so don't nobody know that's the kind of stuff you're carrying. Okay, are y'all with me? Okay, let me help you with this. Don't forgive them and they going on about their business. They don't even care that you ain't forgave them. You the one struggling. They got living their life. My dad told me this one time. He said, son, when somebody is on your mind that much, he said, you mean to tell me they that important to you? I'm sorry. The devil ain't that important. Matter of fact, he ain't important at all. If all I can do is think about all the time of what somebody did to me, you making that person too important in your life. That means you have given them power to control your life and they ain't even there. You wake up in the morning, you mad at them. You go throughout the day and you mad at them. You go to bed, you mad at them. You wake up again and you're still mad at them. And the issue didn't happen a long time ago. I've seen some folks sit there, say they done got saved, get married, sit there, have kids, 20 years and come back and still mad about the same thing. You didn't went to college, got a degree, didn't bought a home, everything else, and 20 years later, you still mad about something that somebody did to you in high school. The moment they bring it up, you're a cocking attitude and mad. And that's how quick you'll forget how good God's been to you. Oh, but you want one person to be good to you? No, I just need God to be good to me. I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing else. I just need God to be good to me. See, and if everybody thought that way, you'll be good to each other. See, if folks thought about how good God was to them, they wouldn't mistreat each other. Because they will have a mind like Christ. Let me help you with this. Anytime you hold on to something, you don't have a Christ-like mind. You have a form of godliness, but not the mind of Christ. Hallelujah, anyhow. My daughter was homeless by choice because she's crazy. I've seen stuff done. God bless her. Have trailer, have that, have all kind of stuff, and go off the deep end and just be on the street and doing stuff. Let me put it like this. Let me tell you how you have to really sit there and trust God. My daughter was less than a block from me. She would call me every day, and she would say, "Daddy, where are you?" And she didn't know I was that close. Because the life she was living, all I did was pray for her every day. I've seen folks do things to her, hurt her. Nights she has called me sleeping on a bench. Have a little, I can understand that, because see, I've been homeless, so I know how this works, because I've been there. And everything you own is in your bag. Her whole life is in a bag. Well, I said, she ain't asking nobody for nothing. And all she did is call, and I drive by, and she's sleeping on the Walmart bench. And for other folks that are homeless, she doing stuff to help them. And imagine, all I want to do is sleep. See, and if you know anything about being homeless, your whole goal is to find somewhere to sleep for the night. So in other words, when you find that bench and ain't nobody else there, that's your territory for the night. And for her to call me, here's the deal, not come get me, Daddy, or none of that stuff, call crying, and somebody she helped, and she say, "They beat me up and took all my stuff." And hear it in her voice, and she say, "That's everything I own." Here's the kicker. Y'all ready? See, y'all think it's about her being homeless. Why she was upset? She has 3 kids. And she was working on some things, but her kids' life was in that bag. She wasn't concerned about the clothes. She was concerned about the stuff that kept her connected with her kids. Jesus died on the cross so he could stay connected with his children. Y'all really just missed that. Y'all really just missed that. Y'all really just missed that. I'm done, but y'all really just missed that. Hallelujah, anyhow, you really just missed that.